Awesome. Good Monday evening, everybody. This is your host, Charles Levi. Thank you. It's great to be here. Also known as Redfish Chuck, this is the Monday night kickoff. I guess tonight it's pretty appropriate, seeing that we do have Monday night football going on right now. The New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. And the Patriots are up 14-7. That's all we're talking about football for the evening. With me tonight, I've got Rob, a bad backcast. How are you, bud?
Hey, good, sir. How are you?
Awesome. And our godfather, illustrious leader, Chip Gibson, who's probably...
Can't touch this.
Who's probably got on mute. Oh, no, he's there. Awesome.
He's one of the other co-hosts there.
Yeah.
I see how it is. Okay. Okay.
Wow. We're off to a good start. So, everybody probably still has 9/11 on their minds, and I'm not going to get into that. That has come and gone. But there is one thing I wanted to bring up that I thought was pretty interesting. My unofficial beer sponsor of the Monday Night Kickoff, which is the Florida Beer Company, who makes such fine brews as the Key West Southernmost Wheat, which is what I'm enjoying this evening. I went to go on their website tonight to maybe talk about them a little bit, and on the front page of their site, they've got a big picture of the Twin Towers, and it says, "Today is about remembering September 11th, which apparently was for yesterday, but it said we will return tomorrow. And if you click on the photo that they had listed, it had the list of all of the victims of the tragedy from September 11th, including everyone who was on the planes and the planes that crashed in Pennsylvania and everything else. I thought that was interesting and a very nice way to remember those folks. So give those folks a look, a taste, if you will. Good people. Brewed right here in my county. Good old Bavard. So, Rob, did you get to go out and do any fishing this past weekend?
Yeah. Actually, we were going out early Saturday morning. Had a good incoming tide. And my buddy, the Swanee Refugee, was coming over from Apollo Beach. Yeah? That's right. Apollo Beach. You hit it right on the head. And anyway... my buddy Keith calls me at 4:45 and says, "Dude, have you looked at the radar?" And I said, "No, haven't even been outside yet." So took Lacey out. It was sprinkling, and looked at the radar, and sure enough, it looked like the end sequence of Independence Day. So decided to stay home and went out Saturday night instead, and the trout bite was on fire. Okay. Me and my buddy Keith hit probably 100 trout on virtually every cast, and only fished about 3 docks. So it was great. They were mostly small trout, but I myself caught about a half a dozen keepers. So that's always fun. And that was it, man. It was great. We had a blast.
What'd you get those trout on?
Oh God, anything. I was changing it up, you know, just playing around with it. See if they'll hit this. I started off with DOA shrimp, natural color. They would chase it and they would mouth it, but no eats. And I changed it up to the DOA glow, night glow, curly tail, and that was on a 16th ounce Wahoo jig head, and it was on. It was like every cast, man. It would hit the wall. It was just like that day we were out at the lagoon catching those 200 redfish, man. It was just, you know, every cast in there, and it would, you know, you had a fish on. So it was fun, man. Miradines, throwing miradines in there, and it was like it would hit the water, and by the time you got the slack out of it, it was already eaten. You know, we were watching on an underwater light, and you'd throw it in there, and it would just get swarmed. A fish would eat it, and there'd be another one trying to get it out of its mouth. So
oh,
it was crazy. It was a blast, man. It's always fun like that. You know, looking back on my fish log, it was crazy. It was the same thing last year, and you know, subsequent trips to the same docks earlier, you know, in the last couple of months have really, you know, there's been fish there, but nobody wants to eat. So we're you know, glad that we were able to get out there and have fun with that, and it was a blast, dude. A funny story for you. I tail hooked a ladyfish, because you know how ladyfish come in and they'll blast something and like turn around real quick.
Yeah.
On the miradine, and it turned on it real quick. Well, it got foul hooked in the tail, right? And it's like dragging me under the dock. I'm like, man, what do I got here? You know? And it's pulling the kayak. There was no wind. It was absolutely flat, calm, slick seas. And it was beautiful. And so, you know, no anchor was needed. And it pulls me under the dock, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, I finally saw it. And it's like, it's about a 20-inch ladyfish with a miradine sticking out of the back of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Wrapped me around some pilings and ended up losing my miradine. So if anybody catches a big ladyfish with a miradine sticking out the back, please mail that to Bad Bat Cast Central, please. Brand new miradine too, man.
Well, at least you got to get out, man. That sounds like it was a adventurous evening.
Yeah. Well, you know, after you laughed at me about not going out on not being able to go out due to the weather on Saturday,
right.
I looked at the radar right before I went out Saturday night, and it looked like Independence Day 2 on your coast.
Yeah.
So I was nice enough not to laugh.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad that you got to get out and get on some fish. That's really cool. Something I wanted to talk about, I totally forgot I was going to start the show off with. A couple tournament, kayak fishing tournaments we have coming up here on my coast. The 2011 Indian River Paddle Classic, which is, from what I understand, a really, really good event. I haven't fished it yet. I think this might be the first year I do. Captain's meeting is September the 23rd, 2011, obviously. The tournament date is the following day. I think it's a Friday and a Saturday. The captain's meeting is Friday night. The tournament is the 24th on a Saturday. The captain's meeting, I believe, is going to be held at Strike Zone down in Melbourne. You got a lot of really good sponsors involved in that tournament. Mosquito Creek Outdoors, Hobie Kayaks, Wang Anchors, Strike Zone Grills, Scotty Rod Holders, the Brevard County Zoo, 321fish.com, Hooked One is going to be a sponsor, looks like St. Croix, a whole bunch of folks. So, yeah, if you guys are interested, it looks like it'll be a pretty good event. I believe that there might be a snook division. It's catch, photo, and release. I know they have a slam, and so trout, redfish, and snook, I think, is what it's going to be. But cool. If you guys get a chance, check out that event. That looks like it'll be a good one. And then also, too, there's another one coming up here shortly. The Coastal Redfish Tour is having their tournament in Titusville this upcoming weekend. they have a kayak division during that tournament as well. So if you're looking for any information on that one, you can go to Coastal Redfish Tour on Facebook, and or go to coastalredfishtour.com. They'll have all their information. I'm not going to go through all that, but yeah.
Where's cool. Where's that one at? Where's that one at, Chuck?
The Coastal Redfish Tour is actually going to be is actually going to be held here in Titusville. Wow. Yeah. No. Hey, listen, buddy. You're right. You're spot on. Here it is. I'm not scared. I live in Titusville, Florida. I like to go fishing in the Mosquito Lagoon. Whatever, man. Thanks, buddy. Hey, Aaron. Welcome to the chat room there. We got Greg Hammerhead. He's in the chat room. We got Aaron in the chat room. Yak Angler, Adam, who will be fishing with me on Wednesday. In your face, Rob. I believe with his brother-in-law will be joining us. So I got some intel on some possible landlocked tarpon action. If after we get off the water, there's time to make a quick roadside stop, maybe get on some little juvenile tarpons. We'll see. But so last week I went to the Henry Show. That was my big to do for last week, and the Henry's Tackle Show, or Big Rock Sports Tackle Show. Which was really, really awesome. Got to see a lot of folks that I know from the industry and meet some new people I hadn't met before. So that was really good. And I'll tell you, I got an opportunity to go to almost every booth and spend some quality time talking with either the representative or the owners of the company. And I've narrowed down my list of stuff that was too cool not to talk about to maybe five companies. And then one heartbreak story that I'm going to drop on you right now. So, I walk up to one of my... Yeah, boo, right, exactly. I walked up to one of my favorite soft plastic companies booth. And for those of you that don't know, Bass Assassin has for a long time been one of my favorite soft plastic companies. I use everybody's stuff. DOA and some Gulp and Exude and everybody else's stuff as well, but the Bass Assassin Blurp was probably one of my favorite soft plastics to throw in the paddle tail in the shrimp, from the movement of the bait, how soft the plastic is, and then also for the scent. Well, Bass Assassin's no longer making the Blurp, so they have discontinued the Blurps. So any of you red fishermen out there, trout fishermen out there who have fell in love with the Blurps as I did, if you can find some, buy them, because they are no longer. And that hurt my feelings. So, yeah. The nice thing, though, is that I spoke with the owner from Bass Assassin, and he told me that they're going to still make the Bass Assassin Blurp colors, like Drunk Monkey, awesome name, and the Molting and a couple of the others. They're going to still make that the same color, but they're just going to do it in the Sea Shad and in the Shrimp Cocktail. So if you need to have those colors like I do, they're still going to be available, just without the scent. So no scented products coming out of Bass Assassin any longer. What do you think about that, Rob? Do you care? Probably not.
What do you mean? No, that's. I think that's terrible. If they took away your favorite, they took away your favorite lure. I mean, I had the same thing happen to me. Storm did away with that wild-eyed minnow, which was a non-weighted soft plastic with a little weedless. It was more of a bass bait, but man, that thing was great. It looked like it was perfect for like a little finger mullet type thing, you know. It was a great lure. So I understand your pain. I feel your pain. And I wish that, I hope that you find something else to replace it with, man. Because that's always a drag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are coming into the fall. And with the fall, that usually brings cooler water temperatures. At least we all hope so. And right around the corner from that will be the winter. And then I start to throw those crabs from Exude. So the paddle tails I'll still use, but you know, I throw a lot more of that crab pattern, and then I guess it really doesn't matter until I find something else in the spring. But so anyway, so that was the heartbreak of the show. Probably the coolest thing I saw, if not the coolest, one of the coolest things I saw for sure were the new live target baits. And I know I got some bass guys that listen to the show as well. If you guys haven't seen live target baits, it's livetargetlures.com. Okay, I can't even talk about it, man. Words can't even express how awesome these lures look. They're definitely something that I want to carry in the store where I work. The saltwater grade stuff, which they don't have listed on their website yet that I can see, but their baits look so lifelike. They've got for you bass guys, they've got frogs, they've got perch, they've got blueback herring, they've got bluegill, pumpkin seed, gizzard shads, threadfin shads, crawfish, golden shiners, rainbow smelt, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass. I think they have rainbow trout and brown trout. I don't know, all kinds of, but they look just like the real bait fish. And dependent upon which style you're looking at, whether it's a lip plug or a hinge body or a topwater walk the dog, they have a different size and different shape for that. So something definitely to check out. I'm not sure what the cost is going to be retail on those lures. Sometimes when you find lures that look this good, they tend to cost a little bit more. But at the same time, if you're going to catch more fish, it's worth it. So, but in the saltwater side of things, which isn't listed, they make a menhaden or a pogie. For you guys up north that fish for stripers, they make a bunker, same difference. And then they make finger mullet, which looks just like a finger mullet. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Fins and all, like it's got little fins painted on it. And I mean, it's even got like little mullet lips on it. It's the craziest thing. And then they have sardine. They've got, oh man, they've got a bunch. So just check them out if you get a chance.
What are they called again?
They are Live Target Lures. It's livetargetlures.com. So, excuse me. So for any bass guys or any of you guys that like to throw hard baits, subsurface type stuff, walk the dog surface type plugs, hinge baits, you know, swimming baits. They even got baits with double props on them, like old school, with the old school bass lures or old school, like Johnny Rattlers. So
They got lips on them, the diving like crankbait lips.
Oh yeah, they got lips on them. They've even got baits out now. They call them wake baits. Okay, instead of a crankbait or a lipless rattle trap type bait, they've got stuff that's called a wake bait, where the lip is actually almost straight up and down, and it runs closer to the surface and actually creates a little wake going across the surface, as if like a fish was trying to flee and pushing water to get away from something. So yeah, pretty interesting. All of them, I believe, have rattles in them. I'm not sure. I think they're using, oh man, I don't even know what kind of hooks they're using, to be honest with you. I was pretty sure they were using owner hooks, but I might be wrong with that construction. Nah, it's not going to tell me. But yeah, cool. Check them out. LiveTargetLures.com. So I don't know. Do you throw enough hard baits, Rob? I mean, I know you use the subsurface stuff. I mean, it might be something you'd be interested in. Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you about, Rob. They make a pinfish that looks just like a pinfish. I mean, this would be a perfect lure for D to throw down there around Sebastian too. The pinfish, they only make it in two different styles. Excuse me, but a couple different sizes. So I'll try and get some information on that over to you as soon as I can. And see if we can't get some of those things out on the water. I sent them an email to see if I can't get a couple of goodies for the shows as gifts to pass out, or, you know, gift packs or whatever. So I see we've got, the landing crews on.
What's going on?
What's going on, buddy? And we got D on the phone as well, I think. D, maybe. D? Nope, no D. Mark, have you seen those baits I'm talking about, the live target lures?
The name sounds familiar. I don't think I'm too in-depth on them. But what I did hear is wake baits. And that this time of year, you want to talk about big bass baits, man. Oh, when you work in an area where they're busting shad on the surface, that is an absolute killer. Absolute killer.
I'm telling you, you gotta take a look at these things. I know how much you...
They look pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know how much that you like catching bass on, like, your frogs and stuff like that, too. So they make a hollow body frog. They make a frog that walks across the surface. I don't know, man. I guess the hollow body frog was an ICAST winner.
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah. I've actually got two of the wake baits, the bass baits.
Hi. I see no pinfish.
I told you, man, the saltwater stuff's not up there yet for whatever reason. It's brand new, I think, for this year or for next year. So I don't even know if it's even available to be purchased yet. But it's definitely cool.
Those things are killer.
Dude, I'm telling you, you wait till you see the saltwater grade stuff. It's absolutely incredible. That finger mullet is going to be my new favorite topwater bait.
This is great, man. This stuff looks awesome. How much are they a lure, I wonder?
I'm not sure on the saltwater.
Frugality.
I don't know on the saltwater stuff. Maybe Mark has an idea about what it goes for, the bass stuff goes for.
It all depends on where you buy them from. If you buy them, like, from your local tackle shop, you're looking at, like, $15. Bass Pro might be a little less, your big target stores. I don't know how much they are online. I actually got mine, the two that I'm using. Actually used one today to catch bass. That was given to me by a buddy of mine. I'm actually looking at it right now.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's really not that high of a cost when you look at the quality hard baits. I mean, anything out of the Sabeel camp costs you $15 to $20 anyway. So, I mean, and Yuzuri is pretty much getting the same way, and I'm cool with that, man. I don't mind spending $15 on a plug. I know I'm going to have all the paint knocked off of in about, 2 weeks. So it's definitely good.
That live target, I was catching lots and lots and lots of bass today in one spot off of a rocky point in some deep water. And fishing a rattle trap, and I was like, let's see if you try the top water. They weren't hitting that. I switched to that wake bait where it dives, 2 to 3 inches up to 6 underneath the surface, and man, that's what they wanted. Whew, that was awesome.
Nice.
I mean, blow up's like a top water, but the bass, you don't have to wait to set the hook. That bass is coming up, he's hitting it, and if he's got enough momentum, he's going to carry himself out of the water. So I was setting hooks on bass in midair. You know when you set the hook on a bass, and it's set, when all of a sudden the bass kind of goes from going parallel to straight at you, and you skip them all the way back into the kayak.
That's awesome, man.
So
that's awesome. Well, that excuse me, goodness, that number I had from 321 that I thought was D is actually my buddy Scott. Scott, you on the phone?
I'm here.
Yeah, Scott was with me at the Henry show. I took him along, and it was funny because we didn't even get a chance to talk to the guy in the booth from the live target lures. We were actually walking around getting ready to go sit down to do what they call the hot profit hour. And I just so happened to look down at the table as we're walking by, and I'm like, how in the world did I miss those? Like, we walked that entire show at least twice. And
at least.
Yeah, and then I looked down, I'm like, grab one of those catalogs real quick. So, but yeah, you did some fishing today and yesterday, actually, didn't you, Scott?
Yes, I did. I got on the water down in the Melbourne area yesterday and had a nice topwater trout bite and found some big, big river tarpon. They did not eat, but there were some fish down there pushing 100 pounds in the river.
Nice. Did you find those same fish today?
Just saw one roll today, and then the river was chopped up for some reason. I don't know why. There wasn't much wind. So we came back up and just did some pond fishing. and we jumped 12 little tarpon and caught 3.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, Eric already gave me the inside Iggy on that location. Kind of keep that one under wraps, and for a little while, I might try and get my buddy over there and my buddy Adam over there, see if he can't get a tarpon if we got time. Daryl's saying that snooker into Daytona. Well, we're gonna have to get a you to call in, Daryl, and give me a report on that, because I'd like to make it up that way and do some of that fishing. But cool.
Yeah, Eric got his first ever tarpon. Ever, and it was on fly.
Oh, really? He never caught a tarpon before, and his first tarpon was on a fly?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I hate you.
Yeah. And it's funny because where they were fishing for those tarpon today, guys and gals, I actually drive past that spot every day when I drive to work. And if you didn't know where that spot was, you'd never know it was there. Obviously, well, I guess that kind of doesn't make any sense. But if you knew where that spot was, you wouldn't think the tarpon would be there. So that's a good find. That's awesome.
Yep.
Cool. So we've talked about the live target lures a little bit. I wish I had more information on the saltwater line of things. I don't have the catalog in front of me. I accidentally left it at the shop. So I'm going to move on, try and get through this stuff kind of quick.
Stretchy wire.
Stretchy wire. Yeah, but you know what? I don't think I have a lot of guys that use wire on here except for maybe Kingfish. And I don't even know the name of the company. You remember the name of the company? It was like Naughty or Not...
Yeah.
Kinky.
Kinky. That's it.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So single strand wire. Chip, you'll get a kick out of this since you're kind of an engineering kind of guy. Company came out with a new product. It's a single strand wire that stretches.
What?
Don't ask me.
Stretch me.
Couldn't tell you. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't stretch it myself. Not only does it stretch, okay, again, for those of you that use wire to make live bait rigs, whether it's for Kingfish or Bluefish or Spanish Max or whatever, you can bundle the stuff up in your hand and make a tight fist and let go, and it doesn't kink.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
like
you
squeeze it, play with it, wrap it through your fingers.
Yeah, you can.
Whatever.
Beat the living tar out of it, and it won't kink. So basically, you can make 5 rigs that would probably last you the entire season. We've played with it quite a bit. We played with it there at the show. We've got a sample of it at the store, where it's and it's tieable. It's tieable as well. You can tie knots.
Yeah, tieable.
So.
Huh.
Yeah, think about that for a second. I don't remember the name of the company. It's something. It's something kinky.
Not so
kinky or something like that, right. And I don't know. I'll have the actual name for it next week. Again, that's my fault. I left that at the store as well. Way to go. So that was a pretty cool product. That was, you know, and I was anxious, as I always am, to see what's new and exciting in the world of rod and reels. A lot of you guys know I'm kind of partial to the Shimano stuff. I've been using Shimano products for years and years and years, and I've never had one really truly fail me that it wasn't my own fault or my own doing. So this year, going to the show, that was definitely one of the things I wanted to go and check out was the new Shimano products and their reels and their rods as well. So I made my way over there, and as always, I was not disappointed. Shimano's changed a few things. Starting with bait casters, they make a new Kronark, which looked pretty good. Aluminum frame. It's got I think it's got 7 bearings, 5 shielded stainless ball bearings. Big old power handles on it. It's a good looking reel. And then the Corrado. They've done some new things to the Corrado. The Sitica, which is one of their less expensive bait casters, they changed that up a bit. And the Caius, I believe it is, C-A-I-U-S. Again, that's probably going to be one of their less expensive reels, I'm going to guess, because it's only got 3 shielded stainless bearings. But it's like it's a very high-speed retrieve. It's a 6.5 to 1. It's not the 7 to 1 that the burners are. But it's a 6.5 to 1, which is pretty quick. But the big change for next year is the sustains. Any of you guys that might fish sustain reels, the sustained spinning reels, they've made a new one, the Sustain FG, which is made of CI4, just like the CI4 Stratix. Going to be my next reel. Definitely what seems to be a vast improvement from the previous model. In saying that, it's just, that's incredible, man, because that reel is probably one of my favorite reels that Shimano makes that's still relatively reasonably priced for most fishermen to be able to afford to buy without going up to the Stella. The 1000 of the 4000 is going to have a new Magnum Light CI4 rotor, and the 2500s to the 5000s will have 8 shielded ARB ball bearings. The little 1000 will only have 7. But there'll be a pile of drag along with this reel, as always, waterproof drag, one-piece rotor, bail assembly is going to be, you know, legit. And then the handle, the actual knob that you're gonna feel is just like the CI4 Stratic. It's made of EVA foam. What's that?
It's not the little handle, though.
No. It's not the small little ball. One that comes on the 1000 and a 2500. It's actually the bigger ball on the smaller sizes that's similar to the one that comes on the 3000 and 4000 CI4 Stratics. For any of you guys out there that know or have played with it a little bit. And then they also changed the Stratic FJ. It went back to a pearl-colored reel. I don't know how I feel about the new Stratic FJ, but then again, you know, I'm pretty set with that Saros, the Shimano Saros 3000 at 129. The price point's pretty good. It's probably one of the best spinning reels I think that they've made, that for me, that has stood up to the test of time, and I'm really, really hard on my stuff. So them changing the FI Stratic to the FJ Stratic, they've done a few things to it, not a whole lot. But the price is going up. Yeah, the color is obviously different, but the price is going up on the FJ. So keep that in mind if you guys are out looking for new reels or thinking about buying new reels. Get in on the FIs while you still can, because once the FIs are gone, they're gone. And I know that Shimano's already been discounting them to us dealers so we can sell them at a reduced price. So the FJs are going to go up probably by $20 to $30 each size. So FYI. And then they make Italica 2-speed. An Italica reel for guys that are fortunate enough to fish blue water down south of me or up in Virginia Beach or the Carolinas and stuff. They're going to... why do I have an echo? Weird. You guys hear that too?
No.
Somebody's not used headphones, so you can hear the speaker.
Oh. Turn your speaker down. If I'm on speakerphone, take me off speakerphone. Anyway, the Italica 2-speed is going to be the next best thing for you guys that are fishing blue water for a blue water application. It's too heavy of a reel to try and do anything inshore with, really, except for the small size might be really good for those big giant black drum that are over on the West Coast or up in Virginia Beach. The Italica series was designed as a casting conventional reel. For throwing live baits and throwing irons and plugs off of the big long-range boats over in California and stuff, but still with a lever drag system. So it's a pretty cool reel. I know some guys that have caught some yellowfins off our coast with them this past year, but they come out with their 2-speed. So that's what's new out of Shimano as far as the reels go. I know I'm spending a bunch of time on this, and I'm going to try and hustle through it real quick because there's some more stuff I thought was interesting. From Shimano as far as their rods are concerned. Chip, I know you're looking to maybe buy some rods. You're thinking about building some new rods. Take a look at the new line of 2011 rods at shimano.com, or it's fish.shimano.com. Starting with the Claris, going to the Compre, the Convergence, the Crucial, the Celeus, the Sojourn, and the Stimula. All of those rods have all been redone. We got to play with those a little bit in the booth. I was impressed, I think, with every single one of them that I picked up. Some of them are going to retail as cheap as $40. Some of them are going to go upwards of $200. But the components that are used on all of their rods right now are second to none. So definitely check them out. Like I say, I was impressed.
Are they all new concept SIC?
Yeah, you know what? In fact, some of the you know the guides that you like, those the A-frames or K-frames from Fuji, the ones that they put
on,
the new ones they just came out with, they're actually putting those on the Crucial? On the Crucial. I think the Crucial's getting them. Maybe the Convergence is getting it. I don't really remember, but I know there's two. It might be the Compre. Crucial and the Compre. That would make sense. But they're putting those new guides that are on the Tau.
Can you get me?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to screen.
Oh, okay. The those new guides that are on the why can't I think of the name of that line of rods, Scott? Help me. The green
Therese?
One. Yeah, the Therese rods.
Therese.
The same guides that are on those new Therese rods have been now put onto the Crucial, and I believe it's the Compre line of rods. They have split grip style, I think, in every model now. They've got what's that?
Just about.
Yeah, just about. And they've got the same reel seat that was on the Kumara, that real shiny black finish with the EVA foam. That's going to be on a Crucial. That's going to be on a Convergence. That's going to be on a Compre. It's going to also be on the Claris. So if you don't like – what's that?
Wasn't that freshwater side of the rods was foam?
Right, freshwater side of the rods is going to be the foam. The saltwater side of the rods is going to be the cork. But potato, potato, tomato, tomato, whatever. You can use whatever rod you want in any conditions that you feel like it. Shimano pretty much says that everything is saltwater friendly. So, but that's their theory behind doing the foam and the cork. When you'll see them in the store, you'll see there's Convergence. There'll be some with foam, some with cork. That's why. The ones with the foam will be freshwater. The ones with the cork will be inshore rods. So that's what's new out of Shimano. I don't know. Anything that you guys may have saw or heard about from Shimano or any of these guys that you might want to hear about, just let me know. I'm kind of trying to run through all this stuff as much as I can. So that we can get down to brass tacks, start talking about fishing a little bit more. But Engel coolers, for those of you that are Yeti fans, Engel coolers and Yeti coolers are pretty much the same concept. I got a lesson from the owner of Engel coolers, and impressive. They make some really cool stuff that'll actually work out for us kayakers really, really well. They make a dry box that's also a cooler that is let me pull it up here. Should have had that done. 19 quarts, I believe. And they make a 13, a 19, and a 30 quart. It doesn't have the thick wall construction of a Yeti or of a normal Engel. But it is considered a cooler. You're not going to keep ice in it for 5 days or nothing like that. But the nice thing about it is that if the ice does melt, and it should happen to flip over in your car, the thing is sealed so tight you don't have to worry about any water leaking out. And the price point is perfect. I mean, you're talking $49 for the 13 quart, $54 for a 19 quart, and $64 for a 30 quart, which, if you compare if you compare it to Engel, if you compare it to Igloo, it's going to be more expensive. But you flip an igloo cooler over in your car or in the bed of your truck, and you're getting ice and beer and everything else spilt all over the place, or fish or what have you. These things are sealed tight, really good construction. If you don't want to use it as a cooler, you can use it as a dry box. You can put your camera in it. You can put your phone in it. So check those guys out at Ingle. They make coolers as big as let's see what their biggest cooler is. I'm actually kind of interested to see Deep Blue coolers. What do we got? We got 240-quart cooler, 123-quart, 80-quart, 65, 35, and 25-quart coolers. But what they're really known for is they're known for making little refrigerators and freezers that go in your car for long trips and that kind of thing. But a new product they came out with this year is their new fish bags. So I don't know if any of you guys like to keep your catch in a fish bag, or when you get back to the truck, you throw it in a fish bag to keep it cool, if you're doing any beach launches and that kind of thing. But he makes probably one of the nicest fish bags I think I've ever seen.
And the price is right.
Yeah, the price isn't bad at all. He's got Yeah.
Somebody's asking, Steve Roberts is asking in the chat room there, how many beers does that equate to when you talk about quart size?
Only Steve. For those of you that don't know, Steve Roberts is my my best friend. He's probably, he is like my brother. And Steve, beer-wise, you can probably fit a six-pack and ice in the smaller of the coolers. And then... Let me pull it up right quick. I forgot what size they made in it already. Like my little roadie that I have is 15 quarts. I can fit six beers in that, no problem, bottles or cans, and plenty of ice and some waters. But yeah, they make a 13 quart, it'll fit a six pack. The 19 quart will probably take 12, and the 30 will take a case, give or take. So, yeah, there you go, Steve. The beer will stay nice and cold in an Ingle cooler. I'm actually going to have him come on the show, the owner of the cooler company. I'm going to have him come on here one of these nights and talk a little bit more about his coolers and his products, his fish bags and that kind of thing. I talked to him a little bit about the interest in possibly building a fish bag that would work better for us kayakers. Something a little bit more streamlined, or even maybe angled to where it can fit down into a back bay area behind you, or even just lay across your legs or strap to the bow of your boat or whatever. Something you can keep your redfish or your trout or whatever it is that you like to keep and eat nice and cold for the day. So we shall see. But that's pretty much all that I saw at the show that I thought was really, really cool. I don't know. There's so much stuff that's out there now that it's pretty much the same thing that you saw last year. We walked through the Daiwa booth, we walked through the Akuma booth, looked at all their stuff. The Akuma stuff looked pretty nice. I didn't really get a chance to talk to anyone. What?
Chuck, tell everybody about your heartbreak.
I already did. You missed that.
I missed that.
Yeah. So. Thanks a lot, buddy. Way to bring it back up again. So, it was interesting. I was really hoping to be able to speak to a few more representatives, but they were pretty busy. I was there to ask questions. Others were there to spend money, so I knew that if I got anybody, I was going to be lucky. Let's see, what else? Is there anything else at all that I saw that was neat? Carrot Sticks got some new rods coming out. For those of you that like carrot first. What else? Oh, the Wright McGill stuff was pretty cool. I didn't take an opportunity to really look at any of the reels or any of that kind of stuff. I looked at the rods at a glance, just kind of walked by them. I played with those before, the new Blair Wiggins rods and the Skeet Reese rods. They're pretty awesome. Give them a look. Yeah, bud.
That Skeet Reese foot and pitch rod,
yeah,
is the rod that I used to land that 30-inch black drum.
Nice.
Yeah, and that folks, I mean, for the price point, like $89, I think it is, $85 or something like that. You know, to and I locked down the reel, and that rod was bent from the reel all the way around underneath the kayak, and the fish was on the other side. And for me to, you know, stop them, turn them around, and bring them back around to the other side, that's a hell of a rod.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And like you said, the price point's perfect. I'm pretty sure that they've got a lifetime warranty on those things. Yeah, so there you go. There you go. You heard it from someone that's actually used it. Go out there and check them out. But real quick, going back to the phones, I think.
You got a whole line of callers there, Chuck.
From the Fire State, I've got Haywood on the phone.
Fire State.
What's up, Chuck?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, just got into LaPorte, Texas for the week. And no, I wish I could have brought my kayak, but I couldn't. And I'm here on business.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you calling in, man. Did you get to do any fishing before you left?
Yeah, actually, we fished a tournament. The first tournament of the paddlefishing.com tournament series was this weekend. We had, it was called the Dynamic Duo, which means you could only bring two lures. Not two bags, not just two, and that was it. Two rods, two lures, and that was it. We had 47 anglers show up and fish it, and I think we had 17 slams. It was the highest number of slams that we've had in one of our tournaments so far. And we've been doing this probably 9 years now. I think this is the ninth year. So the winning slams were, you know, they were respectable. They were 76 and 73 inches. So there were some decent numbers of fish caught. But the really encouraging thing is the number of snook that are showing up. It's like they all just woke up and everywhere, which is really, really encouraging. You know, there are not a lot of big ones. I've seen a few. We're not allowed to pre-fish the week of the tournament. So the week prior to that, we were down and we saw a guy in a kayak. I think he was using live bait, caught a 44-inch snook, which was just, you know, like, oh, my God, be careful with that thing, please.
That is encouraging, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing.
Cool. That's cool, man. I wish we had a now, does that tournament series, is that strictly over there on the West Coast, or do they come over here at all?
No, it's strictly in Tampa Bay. We fish, we'll fish probably five different locations throughout the year, and it'll carry over into next year. Just strictly in the Bay. So it kind of divide the Bay up into, like, zones. And we have boundaries you can launch. You have to launch within those boundaries. But once you launch, you can paddle anywhere you want. So, but as long as you launch in those boundaries, you're okay.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to.
So, yeah, I wanted to call in and support the show. I've been kind of lacking lately, so.
That's all right, buddy. I understand you're a busy guy, man. I appreciate it. Anytime you can tune in, if not, just even listen to the podcast. You know that.
And
but,
I heard your comment on the Wright McGill rods.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, because I have a couple of them, and I really like the reels. You need to check those out. The Sabalis reels.
Yeah.
They're one price for any size. So if it's a 2,500, a 3,000, or a 4,000, they're all the same price. But if I remember right, on the rods, there was a one-year warranty. Now, they might have changed that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because what I've seen with some of the rod manufacturers on my end of it over at the shop is that the one-year thing is kind of, with some manufacturers, it's definitely set in stone, i.e. like St. Croix and a few of the others, where they actually want mm-hmm. either a receipt or they want you to go online and register your rod so the warranty card is registered and they know when you bought it or what have you.
Yeah.
So, some of the other ones, it's pretty much like, you know what, if it blew up after a year and a half, we're still going to take care of you. I'm not saying that people should go out there and do that, because there's definitely a lot of fishermen that break more rods than the average guy, and I don't really understand it. But, So, that's awesome.
Either.
Yeah, it's funny because I've got four or five people, one of them just happens to be on the phone, that tends to break poles on, like, dock pylons because they're mad or low-hanging trees or the ceiling fan that was really a snook, you know? So, you know, it's funny because as a rod builder, when someone brings me in a rod and it's broken, like, at the first or second tip and I look at it, I'm like, so, what was it, a hunter? And they're like, a hunter? I'm like, yeah, you know, hunter ceiling fan? And they're like, nah, man, I broke it on a fish. And I'm like, come on, dude. You know how hard it is to break the first or second guide off on a fish? So you might have popped the eyelid out and was mad and slammed it down and broke it, but whatever. No, that's cool. I appreciate the insight on the reels. I definitely wanted to look at them. It's just, you know, whenever you're at those shows, you have such little time to run around and talk to everybody. That's why I can't wait for ICAST this year or next year to be in Orlando, because I could spend 3 days there and really pick people's brains. But the rods, man. Well, you know what? When you team up with people the caliber of like a Skeet Reese – and Blair Wiggins, and they're allowed to put their two cents in. I know it seems like it's just a gimmick. All right, well, you know, here's a guy who's got a TV show and he gets his own rod line or whatever. It's not that way at all. These guys really do put a lot of their insight into the rods. I mean, a good personal friend of mine who hosts a radio show over here in Brevard County on 1300 AM on Saturday mornings at, I think it's 8 o'clock. Jim Ross, who's probably one of the better inshore guides over here, he hooked up with Lamaglass, and they built a rod that was specifically built to fish our style of fishery. The only problem is they can't price – a Lamaglass can't price point a rod at $100 or $150. I mean, their blanks cost $100. So, you know, this rod would retail for, say, $250, almost $300. Which in Lamaglass terms isn't that much money for any of you guys that are from like the West Coast that know Lamaglass well. That's about average cost for a Lamaglass rod. But you know, it makes it a little tough to sell it in this market. But anyhow, Jim put his heart and soul into that rod and really built a rod that is just what he wants for what he does, you know. And so it's as close to buying a custom rod as you possibly can get, if that makes any sense.
And, you know, let me throw my two cents in. I've bought some of these, you know, the Hank Parker edition and, you know, stuff like that because, you know, hey, these guys catch fish on them. You know, I've bought it in the gimmick. You know, these guys catch fish on them. You know, they've got to work for me too. And they just never worked right. But that Wright McGill Skeet Reese rod, I mean, I handed it to my buddy, you know, to flip and pitch or use the cranking rod. And, you know, it's up to par with my G-Lumis, you know, and just the ability to, you know, for masses to use instead of, you know, specified just to one person and their style. And, you know, that was my major thing with the Skeet Reese side. I haven't tried the Blair Wiggins yet, but Brett McGill, for me, are pretty much right there.
Chuck, I know you're up against the, you know, you're running out of time. I'll throw one more thing in there about the Blair Wiggins line, the rods.
Go ahead, Blair.
I
was going to say, I'm going to keep this thing rolling on through 9 o'clock. So go ahead, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, he came over to Tampa St. Pete and did a seminar for our local club one night. And I met him in the parking lot. And, you know, he seemed like a pretty genuine guy. You know, we talked a little bit before we went in there. And he had brought some of those rods. This was, you know, this has been a couple of years ago. So it wasn't these, you know, flats, blue rods that he's pushing now. But I went up after him after the seminar, and we talked some more. And I said, man, really, you know, I picked one of those rods up. I was like, man, I really like these rods, you know. I like the way they feel. He goes, grab that rod and put the butt up against your thigh and hold on to it. And he grabbed that tip and put it all the way down to the floor. He says, you can't break them. He says, I caught, and this was like the 7 foot nine. He goes, remember that episode where we're down in Alamorada catching tarpon under the bridge? And said, yeah. I was using this rod, and he was, you know, and it's not a rod made for tarpon, but he was catching 100-pound-plus fish with that rod.
Nice.
It's just got so much backbone, and, you know, you'd look at it and think, nah, but it does. I mean, I caught when I was with Chip at Cedar Key, I caught a little drum up there with it, and it was just, you know, it was nothing. You could just put so much you know, put so much to the fish and just horse them around. It was stupid. So, you know, I like them. I've been sold on the reels for a long time. They're lightweight. They're bulletproof. You can dunk the hell out of them because I do it. You know, everybody does it. You drop a reel every so often, and you can drop it and not, you know, not even have to rinse the dang thing off if you don't want to, because it just, you know, it won't leak. So. I love them.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that, man. And there's nothing better than firsthand knowledge of a product and within the community with guys that aren't representatives of those companies. It's nice to hear that there's actually, you know, good products out there and that they've been tried and tested by guys that we all know fish. So that's good. Yeah.
And you know, and they're at a good price, too, that you're not going to kill yourself buying one of their reels and a rod. And you're going to get quality stuff that you can, you know, that'll work for you on the water. So, you know, if you're looking to save some money, and who isn't these days, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's worth a look.
That's awesome, man. Appreciate it very much. Let's see. I got Spiker on the phone. Spiker, you there?
Oh, you caught up with me, huh?
Sorry, buddy, man. It's
no,
a busy
night. No, don't be ridiculous. I'm just sitting here soaking it all in, man. That's a lot of good information.
Yeah.
I like a stick that you can horse them around on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've got actually a Wright McGill travel rod. Hold on 1 second real quick. 321-482-5233. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Hang on for me. I've got a Wright McGill travel rod. That it's a three piece. It's a 7 foot 8 to 17. It's like for us here, it would be a good snook rod for fishing from a boat. It'd be a light cobia rod, but I've caught some pretty big fish on that pole. Being a three piece, and pulled as hard as I wanted to, and never felt like the thing was going to blow up. So I know that they make their rods at really good components. The blank construction itself was then top notch. It's not a new one. It's one from probably at least about 5 years ago. But you know, I won it at a tournament, and never really thought to fish with it until one day I just couldn't find one of my other rods I really like a lot in the pile of stuff in the garage. So I just picked that thing up and said, yeah, that'll work. But without going to like a Travala jigging style rod or something like that to really be able to pull on super big fish and put a lot of heat on things, that rod works out just fine. So that's cool, man. Awesome. I'm glad you said that, though, Haywood. Appreciate it for sure, because I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah.
And I got another caller, Spiker. I'm going to get back to you in just a sec, bud. I got John Potts, my boy John, on the phone.
What's
John,
going on, man? How you been?
Been good. John is a... an owner of a you got a Hobie.
I do, and I just was listening, man, and a lot of great info, and I just wanted to call and give you some props. Excellent show tonight. Been listening for a little bit there, and just wanted to call and just kind of say keep doing what you're doing, man. A lot of great info, a lot of good knowledge, and very appreciative of what you're doing, man. But that's really all I had to say. I didn't have much more.
I agree.
John is a really good buddy of mine. I paid him to come on the show, and and talk some good things about me. So
no, he didn't have to pay me. Chuck, man, if you want to catch a redfish, this guy has it dialed in. He knows what he's doing, and I've been fishing for a long time, and this guy is the real deal. So I just wanted to call and give you a kind of a shout out, and thank you for all you're doing, man. Appreciate it. Good show. A lot of great info. You guys will learn a lot just listening to this guy. So just calling to say thanks for all that you're doing, buddy.
Appreciate it, John.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Later, buddy. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, so we've talked about just about everything I think that I saw at the show that, again, that I thought was worthy of going back over again. It's same old from a lot of companies. Not saying that it's bad stuff or anything like that. I'm definitely not. I got to talk with Jerry McBride a little bit from DOA, and God, that guy is like the giant trout slayer, and he's pretty funny. He's got a pretty funny side to him, and some of the stories he tells about the pictures with the chicks that are so famous now with giant trout in their hands and whatnot is it's pretty good stuff. So definitely give DOA some love, you know, buy some of their products. It's a great company. Been owned by the same guy forever in a day, and they're not big cheese corporate types. I mean, they're just like
us. You can catch fish with them too.
And yeah, and they actually catch fish, right? And they're kayakers. So, well, Jerry is. So, cool. Spike, what's the word, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck, a quick story about Mark Nichols. You say some of them are kayakers. Given his choice, he would prefer his beat up old engineless canoe that he pulls around on the flats. When the first time we went over to the DOA tournament, we ran into him at the ramp that we launched from when we came back, and I was like, "Hey, you're Mark Nichols. What are you doing on this old canoe?" He's like, "Hey, if I have my choice, this is all I want to paddle around. I don't need a fancy flats boat or anything." I said, "This is what I grew up fishing in, and this is what I enjoy. So don't let him fool you."
Yeah, no, and you know, it's funny because I've learned from talking to a lot of old, what I call old salts, that that style of old school, either canoe or even old John boat with just an old push pole. I mean, that's what they used to do, you know, before they had boats that would run in 6 inches of water or whatever like that. So yeah, no, for sure. And I see guys all the time that up in the no motor zone that are using what appears to be like the first ever flats boat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
yeah, so cool. That's awesome, man. I'm actually looking at a couple of new kayaks. There's some interesting stuff coming out from some new manufacturers. I didn't get to go to the Surf Expo, so I don't know who all went to that as far as manufacturers go. But I've been reading into some of the kayak magazines and some of the reviews and stuff that have been done on some of the new kayaks, and pretty interesting, man. I like the way that this sport's growing. I like how I think all the kayak manufacturers now realize that you can't build one boat, you know, and it just doesn't work. You know, there has to be multiple different styles within your line because everybody has, you know, choices now. And it wasn't like it was, you know, a bunch of years back where, all right, you either went with this boat or this one, and that's pretty much your choice. Now there's 12-footers, there's 12.5-footers, there's 14-footers, 14.5-footers, there's narrow ones, there's wide ones, ones with live bait wells in them. You know, it's just crazy. So on that side of things, I'm pretty stoked about, again, where things are going. I can't wait to get over and see my buddies over there at Action Water Sports in Auburndale and take a look at all what's new for the upcoming season. So, yeah.
If you're ever over there, Chuck, drop me a line because that's just down the street from where I work. I'm always over there.
Yeah, I will. I'll give you a little shout because I want to go over there one day and actually spend like the whole day there and just really take my time and go through each boat and really see what's going on, what's new and exciting. You know, I don't know that I've given every brand the due diligence that I should as far as checking them out. You know, I think a lot of us mm-hmm. are pretty quick to just jump on one thing and say, this is my boat. And I found out by trying my friend's boats sitting in other kayaks recently that there's a lot more out there than what we're out there, even when I started.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole myself into one thing, that's for sure. But as far as this week goes, I'm excited. I get to fish with Adam from yakangler.com. He'll be in town on Wednesday. We're going to get out and try and do some red fishing, see if I can't get him on his first red fish. And then if time allows, I want to run him by the spot where those tarpon were at that my buddy Scott got on and see if we can't get him to at least jump a couple of tarpon. That'd be cool. If not, catch a couple.
Find moving water.
Yeah, well.
On any of that stuff.
I'll probably be calling you in the afternoon there, Scott, see if you want to meet up with us. So, but yeah, so the I've got Saltwater Warrior, or Salt Warrior, is in the chat room. He's been trying to get on the phones here, and I think we got some kind of technical issues going on or something. But put up a link, if you would, to your group, Salt Warrior, so I can kind of get guys dialed in on that. Any of you guys plan on doing any fishing this week? We'll start with Rob.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the plan is. It's a little bit early in the week yet, but I'm sure we'll get something figured out.
Yeah. Good talk.
Weather permitting. Weather permitting, man.
Chip, are you planning on fishing? It's been a while for you, bud.
Oh, man, I forgot what it's like. But the weather's broke here in Atlanta, so might get out and try catching some of those green fish that Wheeler's always saying they're so cool to do and everything like that. But or maybe hit the river and see if some trout are biting, something like that. But we got the boondoggle coming up, and I'm headed that way. It's like 24 and a wake up.
Tell everybody. Let everybody know where you're going, what you're doing, what day you're going, and all that stuff. Because, again, I'm not going, so I've kind of forgot about it.
Okay, if you look it up, yeah, oh, yeah. You're not going to want to forget about these, man. The definition of boondoggle, as far as Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio are concerned, we try to do one every quarter for a year. The last one we were at, what was that little island that we were at down in Jacksonville, Florida? But all the folks get together. It's a great opportunity to come out and meet some other kayak fishing anglers, meet some folks that have been doing it for a while. If you're new to the sport, if you're listening to the podcast, if you're a guest listening, and you're thinking about trying it, it's a great opportunity. If you live in the area, drive over. We're staying at the KOA campground in Mount Pleasant, which is just north of Charleston, South Carolina. We're going to be there. Folks will start showing up on Friday, the 7th of October. We're going to be there all that weekend for Columbus Day weekend. We've got several folks coming in from out of town. We're trying to get some of the locals there that fish in those areas that know what's going on. We're going to be primarily fishing, I believe, the Copahee Sound. We have, as one of our local members there, one of the harbor master from Charleston Marina. He's Scuba Stan there is going to be kind of our local host, along with LGB, and I think D.D. Olson is in the house also, or he was earlier. But go up and fish with those guys. And we've actually got the local kayak rental place, the local shop there, Dolphin Dave. Stan talked to him the other day, or yesterday, I believe. And he's going to provide a discount for rental kayaks if you want to come out and give it a try. And you got some folks to go out with you that know what's going on. If you need gear, I'll be bringing some extra myself. We're driving up from Atlanta, but we'll be able to hook you up and get you into the sport and let you try it out. So that's what the boondoggles are all about, having a good time.
Nice. Yeah, man, I wish
oh,
I could
cool.
make it.
Hammerhead.
But,
Hammerhead just announced in the chat room he's going to the Boondoggle, so be good to hang out with Greg again, man. That's
yeah,
a, Greg, cool. I think he like holds the record for Boondoggle travel. You know, coming from New Hampshire to Jacksonville on that one, and then down there fishing with D another time, and coming to Chucktown, man. That's he's gonna like get the mileage award, man, for most miles traveled to get to the Boondoggles.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get him a Michelin or something.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, before we get to Scott to find out whether or not he's going to fish this week, which I already know what the answer to that would probably be, let's get an update real quick. Looks like New England's on top 21-14, so with 8 minutes and 23 seconds left in the third. There you go. But so, Scott, you fishing?
I am. I will be.
You're going to go after those big tarpon, or are you going to stay and mess with the little ones?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what those big tarpon are doing. They were there that one morning, and they were there heavy, thick. Probably saw 50 fish that one morning within an hour and a half, and then the next day I seen one.
Yeah.
So,
that's just tarpon fishing,
sure,
right?
That's tarpon fishing. That's right. I don't know. I'll probably be getting on those little tarpon though in the afternoons after work, but this weekend I think I'm going to be trying to find some redfish again, being that the weather's starting to cool off.
Nice. Real quick, so Salt Warrior, he sent me that link. That's for the Northeast Oklahoma Kayak Anglers Fishing Club. It's a it's a good long title. I like it.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. But you know what? I appreciate Salt Warrior getting on here, giving us a little bit of love, listening to the show. He's been listening to some of the other shows as well, the podcasts. I believe he's still moving down to Louisiana. So if he's moving to Louisiana, I'm pretty sure that my panel of experts here, me included, will all be visiting you at some point or another to go kayak fish with you in Louisiana. So
I'll bring the flats though.
You've just opened yourself up to a smorgasbord of interesting guests. But so anybody who lives near Oklahoma, the northeast corner of Oklahoma, who's not a member of the Kayak Angling Club, the Northeast Oklahoma Kayak Anglers Fishing Club, get with those guys. Good people. Russ is a good guy, man. He's seems to be on it. He's always posting up some really cool pictures. He caught a couple nice 5-pound bass recently. They got some really cool video. I think Russ just posted up a snake ambush, aggressive snake ambush video today or yesterday. So check out that group. Be friends with those folks. Find out who they are and, you know, individually friend request them. Let's try and make this kayak fishing community a little bit stronger. But let's see. Steve's having computer problems. Now you only hear echoes because you're drinking too much beer. And
it's an echo. It's intermittent. It comes and goes, and I don't know why. But
you hear it too?
I do occasionally. But the answer for that is just refresh your page, and it should go away.
Ah, there you go. Spike, are you fishing this week?
I am fishing later in the week. Michelle and I are going with another couple of friends down to San Francisco tomorrow to see the Giants hopefully whip the Padres. And then I'm going to get out Thursday and Friday. And the fishing's good here. I read the reports for the weekend, and it's funny, man. Get up early and go fishing. That's the only way where you're going to catch fish, unless you fished here over the weekend, which when everybody got off the water about 1 in the afternoon, the guys just stuck it out until 2 or 3 or 4. Had 3, 4 hours of a really good bite. The fish didn't turn on until the afternoon. So at least I was able to pick that up in the reports, and I know it's an afternoon bite. Rockfish, ling cod, that's what we're fishing for. The salmon kind of disappeared from here for a little while. Maybe they'll come back before the season's up.
Nice. And for those of you that don't know, Spiker's over in California, and he is the host of our Friday night show. 8 o'clock Eastern, you can catch Spiker.
8 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific.
There you go.
Kayak, fishing, everything.
He put on a really interesting show this past week. I was able to call in and talk to him a little bit about conservation and some other issues that I think that us as kayak anglers are all very much aware of. And it was good stuff, man. It's very good to have you on the family.
Thanks for that. We're trying to have a good show every week. I love this format. I love this is my first night on, my first time calling in on Monday.
Yeah,
or listening in, I should say. I tried to lurk there, Rob.
Sorry.
No, I definitely appreciate you joining the conversation, man. Your knowledge is always welcome, for sure.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, what are you? So, how long are you in Texas for the whole week?
I'm here all week. I'm here till Friday, so I'm going to actually Google up some stuff tonight and see if there is some kayak shops here and go and if there's some close by, go talk to them. And I won't be doing any fishing, so when I get back Friday night, I have a friend coming over from the East Coast and try to put him on some fish during the weekend. Sometime
very cool.
Either Saturday or Sunday.
Very cool. That'd be awesome.
Where are you in Texas?
La Porte.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just outside of Houston. I was going to call you up when I was sitting in Atlanta, but I had so much fun just people watching that I forgot to call you.
Just going through the traffic there? Yeah.
I had
call
like
the guys
a
4-hour over.
Layover.
Oh, at the airport. Yeah,
yeah,
you can people watch there for hours.
Yeah.
Give the guys at Austin Kayak a call, man. I think they've got another shop that they opened up nearby.
They opened up a fresh
one. Yeah, like
one
I said, I'm
going to
look it up. I know there's got to be something around here, you know, in
LaPorte. Yeah, you've got
yeah.
Southwest Kayaks. They're the staple shop south of Houston in Woodlands. And I'm pretty sure they're on the water, too.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be doing a little research. I want to pick their brains for an unusual lure that you would use for trout and redfish. You know, not something that's primarily geared for them. Example, one year we did a tournament with a horny toad. You know, and that's a bass lure. Well, we caught so many fish on that stupid horny toad. We caught so many snook. Love them.
Huh.
So,
hey, Bill. Bill, check out if you get into any sort of bait store tackle shop over there. Check out Brown Lures, and they make. I've used them before around here, and they're awesome. They're really fat, soft plastic.
Yeah.
And they don't. Some of them have like a. Like a shad tail on them and stuff, and some of them just have like a regular old fluke tail. And these things are great. They have a big giant eye on them. And the color that always has worked for me that I've used is it's called Black Cat. And it's black with a chartreuse tail, and man, it's like a trout magnet. It's an awesome lure.
Check it out.
So if you can get some of those, man, those are some good lures.
They're made by Brown's Lures?
Yeah, they're called Brown Lures. Jason Brown was a guest on my show before. He's like the guy that made them, him and his brother. And they've come up with some really cool, different, unique concepts on them. They're pretty big baits. I believe they're 4 or 5 inches, and they're really thick, you know, big around. So definitely check them out. They were supposed to be coming up with a soft topwater that was kind of like almost like a Zara Spook or a you know.
Oh,
like
yeah,
a,
I've seen that. Yeah.
Something like that, and it was soft. But I haven't seen it or checked it out or anything. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
Adam, I hope you have a good evening, my friend. And I can't wait to see – oh, he logged out. Oh, well. Can't wait to see you on Wednesday, buddy. Hopefully we'll get you on that redfish so you can not have to look up to Mark like he's your hero. Oh man, that was wrong. Gosh. Oh, so real quick, here's a tip for all of you kayakers who have not been able to get your kayaks out of your garage, Steve Roberts, and go down and do any fishing, Steve Roberts, and may have cobwebs growing on them, and they may be dusty, Steve Roberts. Go outside, sit in your kayak in the front yard, okay? Have your wife spray you in the face. Just a tip. Have your wife spray you in the face with a garden hose. Spray the sides of the kayak down to knock the cobwebs off. Close your eyes and just pretend it's raining. And I don't know where I'm going with that. That was pretty lame. But I don't know, man. I don't have any tips for that. Tip is call your boy Chuck so we can go do some fishing. And I understand having the new one at the house. Steve's a new father as of earlier this year. So he definitely has to get out of the house a little bit and do some fishing. But, man. So we've reached 9:20. I want to catch a little bit of football, I think. And it's been a good show. It's been awesome. I really appreciate everybody calling and everyone being in the chat room. I got, this might be my all-time record as far as the number of people listening. If I can get Aaron to call in, that'd be good. Real quick, tell me if he's fishing or not. But, yeah. Anybody else doing any fishing in the chat room? Anybody going out doing anything? Want to type it up real quick so we can talk about you behind your back on the radio? Daryl's been on fire with the snook up in Daytona. Heywood, we may have to make a trip up there and do that if you ever get a chance to come over here.
Oh yeah,
and Rob as well. You know, get a bunch of us together, maybe go do the snook thing up there. That'd be awesome.
But, I'd love to.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, Heywood, I was meaning to ask you, what kind of camera are you shooting now? And for somebody that's wanting to get into taking some pictures on the water, what brand, if not a brand, what are the few things that you look for a good all-around digital camera?
Well, I'm shooting a Nikon D50, which is, they don't even make it anymore. It's kind of an older camera. But Nikon... It, you know, Nikon and Canon right now are just fighting each other for the DSLR market. So that's good for us because they're coming out with new Nikons. It seems like every other month there's a new something. If you want to get a camera just so that you can, you know, print some good prints for your home or post some stuff on the internet. You really don't need to get too crazy and get one with a really high megapixel. I think mine, that D50, is like an 8 or a 9 megapixel. I can't remember. And, my pictures that have been published in that Australian magazine, they look great, you know. So it just depends on how much you want to spend, you know. you don't really need to get like a professional grade camera. Some of the Nikon, like the D3000s and stuff like that, those are for professional shooters. There's a whole menu of options and you know, it'll take you years to figure them all out, quite frankly. It might not, maybe just me, because I can't get into the damn chat room half the time when I log on here, so.
No, that's Sam Root style stuff, man. That's way above my pay grade.
What's the other part of that is
a good editing software, but we'll just leave it at that.
Right. Yeah.
then,
cool.
You know, you want to talk about the most important thing really is what kind of lens you want, you know. I have a 70 to 300 millimeter lens. So when I primarily got that lens to take pictures of tan redfish. So I could reach out there and get pictures of them. But now when I want to get that grip and grin shot, I can get it, but I can't get a full frame wide shot with a good depth of focus. My lens has a narrow depth of focus. So if what that means is if the guy's holding the fish out in front of him, I might get the fish in focus and he might be a little out of focus. So a different style lens would help with that, you know. I can get it with mine. I just have to adjust the F stop number up quite a bit, and sometimes I don't remember to do that. But
well, I saw that tarpon picture you took. I saw that tarpon picture. I was going to say, I saw that tarpon picture you took not too long ago, and I think it was not too long ago, the one that you put up on Yak Angler for your article.
On the article?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I took that picture's about two, three years old.
Oh, matters not. That thing is awesome, man.
Yeah, a lot of that's luck. I'll post the second picture of that picture, and you'll see what I mean by I was almost in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Because that fish, Dave hooked that fish, and it ran toward me. And I'm taking pictures, and I can't get out of the way. And, it, you know, you see it jumping. Well, it's literally, you know, a few feet away from me. And so when it, you know, it hit the water, I got drenched. Luckily, I didn't get my camera wet.
Nice.
But it could have been a lot worse. It could have landed in my lap.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't be good.
It almost did. So, you know, that's something that you really got to be conscious of when you're doing something like that. But
real quick, Bill, is that a recent picture?
No, that's
like,
I took that.
I remember seeing that like on, I think it was like on Captain Mel or something. And that picture before I kayak fished. That picture was like the thing that got me into kayak fishing, because I saw that and I was like, really? You gotta be kidding me. People are chasing tarpon in kayaks, really? And that was the thing. I actually put a picture of that up on my blog, like back when I first started it, man.
That picture made the Hook One calendar cover for 2010, yeah. So I took it in, '09, and it made the calendar cover in 10.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite shots that I think I've seen that you've taken. Not that that's the only one that's good. I mean, you take so many good pictures. But no, I'm definitely in the market for a better camera. I have been for a while.
You know that Christmas time is the best time to shop for those, because they'll have internet sales, they'll have sales at like Walmart. I saw them at Walmart the other day. They had Nikon. I can't remember what they were. And then you can catch them with a lens, with a lens kit. So it'll come with a standard lens, and then that come with something like maybe a 18 to 200 millimeter lens. If you're going to buy that lens, get a VR, which is the vibration reduction lens. It helps when you zoom in on something, it actually freezes that so that you don't get any blur from shaking, you know. That's a good lens to get, because that's like a good overall lens that'll give you a good wide angle and some, you know, you can reach out there and get some distance shots too, so.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of all what you want to spend. That's it.
Yeah, it kills me, man, being over here and fishing in the lagoon in the wintertime when those redfish tail all day long. And you're just like, you come around a corner of an island. Yeah, right. You come around the corner of an island and you're looking across the flat and it's just tails. And you're like, really? And you look down at your like cheap little nonsense, I've got no zoom, thank you very much, camera. And you're like, maybe if I get close enough, I can take the picture. It is 10 megapixel, so perhaps when I put it into Photoshop, I can blow it up. And when you do, it looks like a blurb. Looks like a pile of just nothing off in the distance. Yeah, it's kind of disheartening. But no, that's definitely something that I want to buy. Also, too, I think that I've got a little crew of people over here on my coast that definitely want to get in. They're doing some more videoing and stuff. So we as a collective group are looking at getting into some good camera equipment, and I've got a pretty good outlet for some of that stuff. But real quick, running over to Rob Choi. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you? I've been listening to your show most of the night, and I decided I'd call in real quick at the end just to say it was a good show. I enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm glad you were able to partake a little bit in just listening, if not even talking. And I'm sorry it took me so long to get to you, buddy. It's been one of those shows. It's just it's rocking.
It's been a good show. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's no big deal. Don't apologize.
Did you
have my daughter with me for a while? Oh, nice. I didn't want her chatter to get into it, so that's why I kind of didn't want to call in earlier. So
we are a child friendly show, sir. Every now and again, you'll hear my oldest boy Trey. He'll be banging on the door in the background, or yelling out for me, or kicking his headboard. His room backs up to my bedroom, which is where I do the show. So, yeah, trust me, don't worry about child noise. It's all good, brother. Did you do any fishing this weekend?
This past weekend, I actually went last Thursday. I had traffic court, actually. I don't know if anybody read the blog post, but I had traffic court, and it was down in Virginia Beach. And afterwards, I decided I'd go fishing since I'm already down there, so... I did some spade fishing. The hurricane was offshore from us and was throwing off some pretty big swells, so the conditions were challenging. But I got a few, and then afterwards I hooked up with a friend of mine and did some striper fishing under the Hampton Roads Bridge Channel.
No worries. You know, it's this late in the show. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to get in, and I just had a couple minutes and wanted to try and represent and support a little bit. So
representing just fine there, Mr. Becker.
Good. Better late
than
never, and glad to catch the end of the show.
No, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead and finish your bridge. You were fishing the tunnel?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, just got some more stripers and some flounder and small stuff. It's fun, though.
Yeah, you got out on the water, man. You got to put a bend in the rod, so that's good. Mr. Becker?
Yes, sir.
Did you fish it all this weekend? Are you planning on fishing it all this upcoming week or weekend?
As a matter of fact, I had the privilege of fishing with the one and only Haywood 2 days this weekend. We fished together or in the same general proximity during the paddlefishing.com dynamic duo event on Saturday. And then he, my son Robert, and I got out a little bit on Sunday, got to paddle around a little bit.
And don't forget, what happened Saturday? First place snook? Was that what you won? First place snook?
Oh, I wasn't here to brag about that, but as a matter of fact,
Mr. Becker.
Placed snook in the tournament. So.
What? Where's my nice. Where's my? Hold on.
Glad I can make the kids happy.
Yeah. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was a great morning.
There it is.
After the start of the tournament, but couldn't find a redfish to save my life, with the exception of the one that I hooked and then lost on the first cast.
That
would have been the tournament winner, and couldn't find another one no matter what I did.
How big was your snook?
Snook was 27 3/4, 19 3/4 inch trout, and like I said, couldn't find the red.
Nice, man. What'd you get the snook to eat?
How big? Yeah, what were your two lures?
Two lures were a white reflective Spook Junior and a custom spoon that Junior Flyreel and I created the night before. It was a gold spoon with the paint sanded off the curved side that we spray painted it white. And it was white on that side and gold on the other.
Ah, I like
trout
it.
Trout took.
Cool.
Yeah, so did the trout.
Now he's being too modest because we both hooked monster redfish. Mine, because I did not have the time the night before to change my hooks, bent my hook like a paperclip, and I lost it. I don't know what happened. I would assume maybe the same thing happened to Greg because we got into a school of some pretty large redfish.
They weren't East Coast redfish, but they were 30 plus with no issue. And they were coming across the flats and came past me. I was further out than Bill. They came past me, came in past him. I couldn't hear the cursing, but I could see the blue fog arising from around the Malibu X13. and I knew something not good had happened. But there was a school of big redfish over here that just came blistering through. I had that fish hit on the first cast with the spook. Four casts later, I hooked the snook, and he jumped about 12 times. And the first time he jumped, he just got the first half of his body out of the water, and he looked like he was about 35 inches. And
wow.
By the time he jumped for, I kid you not, the 12th time before I could land him and get him in, my hands were shaking. I haven't had that happen since I was like 5 fishing. So I just started laughing at myself that fish had me that wound up. And then nothing on the top water bite for another 5 casts, so I switched over to the spoon, and my second cast with the spoon took the bigger trout, and then another 4 trout after that. But like I said, I searched far and wide for another redfish, and we had a bunch of hits on both the top water stuff and the spoon. But after about 9 o'clock, they just wouldn't commit. Some of the smaller fish, you know, smaller trout, smaller snook, but the bigger fish just wouldn't commit to really hit. And you could tell from the hits that, you know, and the swirls when we were in the shallow water that they were good fish. They were hitting it. They just, it was more an irritation than an I want that bite, and we just couldn't stick a hook on them. So,
well, congratulations, sir, on taking top snook honors. That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's good to hear that folks that are affiliated with the programs here on Kayak Fishing Radio are going out there and showing everybody how it's supposed to be done. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, real quick, catch conditions for my area over here on the Space Coast of Florida, Indian River, Banana River, Mosquito Lagoon. The water looks like chocolate milk. It is the ugliest color I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it has started to clean up a little bit, but it has a lot. It has a long way to go. We have a pretty serious algae bloom going on over here. It's not a red tide, so don't everybody freak out. Every year we get this algae bloom ever since the fine folks at the Army Corps of Engineers decided that they would let all the runoff from Brevard County go into our intercoastal waterways and kill our oyster beds and our clam beds and our mussel beds and the natural filter feeders that live in the river. So it's one of those things that we have to deal with. Daryl's saying it's the worst he's ever seen the lagoon too, and it is. If anybody is familiar with the Mosquito Lagoon, the winter time, let me tell you what, man. I've driven to the Keys once. I've seen the water. I've been to the Keys a couple times. I've seen the water. It's pretty. It's clean. The water in the lagoon in the south end, even up in the north end, in the wintertime and in the springtime is as clean as that. And right now, it looks like a cup of Yoo-Hoo, chocolate water. So, deal with the dirty conditions in the summertime. It's just the way it is. It's always going to be that way. There's nothing that's going to change it. Every year, you can count on it. The thing about it is it's not killing our fish. It's killing our seagrass, but it's not killing our fish. The fish are still feeding. The key that I have found from folks I have spoken to, guys that are on the water every day, including kayak guides and just regular old inshore guides, is using lures this time of year that create a whole lot of vibration or make a lot of noise or have a lot of scent and flash. And if you have to cheat and use cut bait, I will forgive you. It's okay. I'm probably going to do that with Adam. if I have to, because I got to get that guy on a redfish. So, you know, don't go out there expecting to visually sight fish anything unless you see a tail sticking up or a good solid push moving across a flat. It's just not going to happen. The water's too dirty for it. With that being said, up and down our coast, the topwater bite on trout has been pretty damn good for the last 5 months. Most of the trout have been keepers, smaller size keepers, but there are a pile of fish that have been caught over 20 inches. So if you're looking to catch a giant trout, this is a good time of year to go do it. If you don't want to run down south to fish down by Mr. McBride down there in the Stewart area, just fish over here on our coast, man. Anywhere in the Indian River, Banana River, Mosquito Lagoon, you find areas where the mullet are stacked up. Just throw topwater plugs, Rapala Skitter Walks, Zara Spooks, Puppies, Juniors, Badonkadonks. Right, Badonkadonk. Is that what you were throwing the other day, Scott?
Yes, that was. See, red and white.
There you go. The Badonkadonk's been working real well. I've been throwing the Rapala Skitter Walk in bone color. So there you go. And as soon as I get my hands on a couple of the live target lures, finger mullet, I'm going to be trying those. So the trout bite's been good. Redfish have been taken pretty readily on topwaters as well. In and around Port Canaveral, there's – what's that?
And cut bait.
Yeah, and cut bait. In and around Port Canaveral, there's been a bunch of mangrove snappers still being caught. There's been a few muttons and a few lanes being caught out by the jetties. The snook bite's been pretty damn good at night. The redfish bite's been pretty stellar at night as well as during the daytime. And the flounder have shown up. So if anybody lives on my coast, is listening to the podcast, and you want to go out and try and catch some flounder, the flounder have shown up inside Port Canaveral. Had a guy stop by the shop the other morning fishing down at the end of the road off the seawall. He caught a 9-pounder. So with that being said, the mullet have also shown up. Looked like we had a small break between storms moving past our coast, so the surf has had a chance to kind of calm down a bit. The mullet moved out onto the beach, and the snook started firing. So if anybody wants to go fishing off the beach for snook, I wouldn't recommend taking your kayak just yet. I think it's still a little bit nasty for that. But, you know, walk the beach, throw in wind cheaters or Yuzuri crystal minnows, live bait mullet croakers if you can find them. Cast parallel with the shoreline all up and down the coast. I would start probably south of Cocoa Beach Pier and work your way on down towards Sebastian Inlet until you find them. I definitely want to get guys fired up about that beach snook fishery. If you haven't snook fished on the beach before, it's a lot of fun. And it's something that you can probably convince your old lady to go out and do with you, because she can go walking down the beach, or she can go out and lay out in the sun, and you can just walk down the beach trying to catch snook. What else? Let's see. Obviously there's been some tarpon in the river, as Scott mentioned earlier. I wouldn't look for tarpon up north. I'd start down around the Pineta Causeway area, maybe even down a little bit further south than that, Melbourne Causeway, on down towards the Sebastian River. Fishing those areas with live mullet, bomber plugs,
croakers,
of course, if you can get croakers. Croakers are the best inshore bait, period. Small crabs would probably work, or shrimp are too small this time of year to really throw shrimp at them.
The bigger fish are going to be down south. There are some small fish up in the Cocoa Beach canals as well as the Banana River canals.
Yeah, and anything small, I like to throw real small stuff at those little fish. They're in there eating glass minnows and small little mud minnows and stuff, so... Anything small? What's that?
Miradines or the little.
Is that what you jumped on today?
No, I wish I had it though, because they would have ate it.
What were you throwing today?
They were actually the first couple of fish I hooked didn't land them, but I did hook them on Reaction Innovations White. I'm not sure what the actual color name for that is, but the Reaction Innovation paddle tails.
Yeah, I know the color. I know the color. I'm not going to say it on the radio show. It's an adult-themed product. Steve Roberts, appreciate it, brother, as always. Thank you very much for listening. We'll get together, go do some fishing. But, yeah, the tarpon bite's been pretty good. What else is going on? The weather's starting to cool down a little bit as of the last couple of days. And by that, I mean it won't be 100 degrees all week long. It's been dropping down to the low 90s, even the high 80s. So that's been pretty cool. And I feel, I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but sometimes when the seasons start to change, you can kind of feel it wanting to change. Maybe it's just me. But
I'm with you on that.
There you go.
Coming up from Virginia, man.
Yeah, with the mullet run in full effect right here, right now, I'm looking forward to the first report of Spanish mackerel. So as soon as someone hears a Spanish mackerel being caught around here, because I know those mullet are going to pull those mackerel in, and the water's going to start to cool off a little bit here in the next couple of weeks, I'll be targeting one of my favorite eating fish. You guys can laugh at me if you want to, but the Spanish mackerel. And they're a great fighting fish, too. So that'll be awesome. But on the freshwater side
fall
of things,
cobia run.
What's that?
Waiting for the fall cobia run.
Ah, yes, too. We have a fall cobia run that should start here any minute now. Where
the mullet are here, they should be here soon.
Yeah, so as soon as that water temperature gets right, we'll have the cobias here. That'll be awesome. We'll have to throw my kayak in your boat once or twice, Scott, and make that happen. But
hopefully those big redfish show up with them again.
That'd be awesome filming. We get a big wad of giant breeders, 40 and 50 inch fish that cruise up and down the beach, and just in such a big wad, the water turns orange with them. And they'll actually hit topwater plugs in, like, they're sitting in 30 foot of water, and they'll come up and crush a topwater plug. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
And it's not just one trying to eat it either. It's 15, 20 of them chasing that topwater down.
Yeah, the whole group tries to eat it, so it's a lot of fun. But that'll lend for some good fly fishing opportunities off the beach. So we'll see how that goes.
Big black drum show up with those too, if you can get it to the bottom.
Yeah, last year we had a run of black drum show up off the beach that were, I mean, just giant fish, 60, 70-pound black drums were all over the place underneath the big redfish. So that was the key, though, is if you can get through the redfish, you can get into a black drum. But I want to talk freshwater for just a second, and then I can't believe I'm almost taking this thing 2 hours. It's awesome. Later, Daryl. Appreciate it, buddy. I'm going to go do some bass fishing one of these days. I think we drove through my old neighborhood the other day just to take a look at my parents' old house. Really? Wow. So anyway, we took a drive through my parents' old neighborhood and in Vieira, Florida, Melbourne, Florida, and there's ponds that are in that neighborhood that hold 10 plus pound bass, as many as you want to catch. And you can thank me for that, because I basically stocked all those ponds growing up as a kid. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been itching. I've been itching to go back there and drop the kayak in one of the ponds and go and mess up some giant bass. So, and time's getting close to that, you know, when the water starts to cool down a bit, those big fish tend to feed a little bit better in those ponds. So look for maybe some Redfish Chuck bass fishing reports on yakangler.com. For all things kayak fishing related, yakangler.com. Great place to go. If you guys aren't members, do so. I said so. thanks, Rob. God, he's on it, except for Mr. Becker's call. But,
I'm sorry, man. I apologize for that. Sorry.
It's all right.
Sometimes,
but if there's
got
to happen to somebody, who better than me?
Absolutely.
Right. But there's a slight delay when I hit that button, you know, to put you on, and I couldn't get it back fast enough, you know, because I heard you talk, and I was like, and I didn't even hear it until I got back in to the show, because I can't hear what's going on the show when I'm screening. But sorry, I apologize. I'm just trying to do the best job I can screening for Chuck. Hey, Chip wanted me to ask if Rob Choi's going to the Boondoggle. You going, Rob? Chucktown? Columbus Day weekend?
Yeah. Whoa.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Well, me, I promise. Go ahead, Rob.
I totally forgot about it, actually. I'm running low on funds. I really should be traveling too much. So I appreciate the invite, but I really don't think I can make it this time, man.
Okay. Well, you know, these are a lot of fun, man, so we'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Yes. Please, if you can, I'd love an invite for the next one, so please.
Sure. Absolutely, man.
Cool.
Cool. So, yeah, bass fishing. Rob, why are you against bass fishing? You got something against bass fishermen?
Not at all. Not at all, man. I love it.
I just figure that I've got at least 15 rods I haven't dusted off in a while. I can slap all them on the kayak and bring 75 bags of soft plastics and like 15 spinner baits and a couple of crank baits, and I should be in. Right, that's about standard issue for a bass trip. So, you know what, man? It's just been so long since I've caught a bass, and I was watching bass fishing today on TV, and it was kind of funny because George Provomo, whatever his name is, he's got a saltwater fishing show. Well, they were fishing in North Carolina, back up into some creek. And he caught a redfish, then he caught a trout, and then he caught a bass. And he goes, "Now I understand why I fish saltwater." Because he hooked the bass came up, blew up on his topwater plug, and he basically skipped it back to the boat. And he was just talking about how the lack of fight from the fish compared to whatever, saltwater fish, whatever. But, you know, I've been watching some Iconelli and stuff like that, and I'm like, man, I remember when I used to get that pumped about catching a bass, you know, yelling and screaming, cussing a little bit.
Bass fishing, man.
Neighbors calling the cops on you because you're screaming in the middle of the day, just crazy banshees, whatever. Yeah, no, I'm really into bass fishing, man. I like it a lot, and I haven't done it, so I think I'm going to go do it. But that's it, man. I'm done. I'm reaching here talking about bass fishing on my show for the last 8 minutes of the show.
Nothing wrong with bass fishing, man. And some of those ponds that you're talking about, like those residential, like apartment complex ponds and golf course ponds and stuff, some of those are really great fishing, man. Cause,
golf course ponds, especially. Golf course ponds are the jam.
Yeah, they don't get fished. So chances are a lot of those fish have never seen a lure ever. You know, so it's awesome. You throw a purple worm in there, man. 6-inch culprit, and there you go. No weight, just kind of move it along fast enough just to keep the tail moving, and you're on. It's awesome.
Ponds are cheating, says saltwater.
What's that, Rob?
I was saying top waters in the golf course ponds are fantastic at night because, like you said, nobody's in there, and no, they hardly ever see anything. Fun at night when all is here, it's this explosion all of a sudden, and just wait for that tension, and there he is.
Cool.
When the June bugs come out, too, man, you can fish a tiny torpedo, and that's a blast, man, at night. June bug season. When do those come out, man? I'm not sure.
June bugs? We don't have June bugs, man. I got a call from 321, 321, 591. Who we got?
Who do you think? It's Walk.
Oh, it's the Nature Walk. Nature Walk decided to wait till I had 6 minutes left in my time where I'm allowed on the show.
I'm telling you, man, being a parent's hard.
Yeah, trust me. Real quick, hold on one second, Walk. Settle down.
Yeah.
Real fast. For those of you guys that don't know, and you don't know him because this is the first time Walk's ever called the show, if there's one person on this planet that I would compare to the crocodile hunter, with the exception of getting stuck in the chest by a stingray, it's this guy right here, Nature Walk, Kevin Watkins. He's a buddy of mine I grew up with. Kevin got his name Nature Walk from being able to pluck Picosomuses. If you don't know what that is, it's the algae eater fish that run rampant in the state that don't belong here, that you buy for your kids in their aquarium. They get huge. This guy plucks them off of, like, what was it, the dam?
Oh, yeah, spillways, you know, various creeks and whatnot.
he's like an osprey. He just reached in the water, bloop, plucked one out of the water. I'm like, really? But anyways, what's going on, Kev?
Yeah, it's doing okay, man. Been busy as all get out, but I figured I'd call into your show. You were speaking about bass, and when I first tuned in, I remember that one that you nailed. That one day we were out fishing on I think it was a fire tiger crankbait. little no name plug you had.
Yeah, I got this. I got the fire tiger crankbait. It's fire tiger color crankbait. I got off the top of a bottle of Jim Beam. I used to be a liquor store manager, and the bottles came with a little lure on top for a while. And none of my customers fished, so they always plucked the lure off the top and give it to me. So we went out and fished it, and I caught a pretty nice fish. He was maybe 2 pounds.
2 pounds? I don't know, man. The one that I caught was about 5 pounds, and I thought I was doing good until, let me see, I think there was a grass berm between me and you, and I saw your rod double over, and I saw you get really quiet, so I peeked over the edge of the curb to see what was going on. The next thing I know, I see Chuck double-fisting this bass out of the water, and the sucker had to have been at least 10 pounds. And
Yep.
I called it quits and just gave up at that point. I said, forget it. I'll just give it to Chuck that day. So.
Yeah, that's one of those. That was one of those bass that's just, that one will stick with me for a while. Man, that fish was huge. Fishing in a pond that had zero vegetation, and and just a ton of small brim in it and stuff like that. And I think me and you were the only people that really ever fished that pond, and those fish are still there, Kevin.
I know, man.
I got a buddy of mine that fishes that pond on a regular basis, and man, he still catches big fish like that. So,
nice.
Cool, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you calling the show, dude.
No problem, man.
We need to get out and do some fishing. Me, you, we'll get Steve involved, and my buddy Scott there. We'll all put together a little kayak fishing / whatever kind of fandangled deal we can figure out, something cool to do. But well, cool, man. Well, guys, I got 3 minutes left, I'm sure, before the lady on the phone tells me I need to get off. And, you know, it's been a great show. I appreciate everybody tuning in and being in the chat room and listening in. Tell your buddies to listen to the podcast for me if you don't mind. Download it. Take it with you. You know, if you missed any part of the show, you can always listen back to it. KayakFishingRadio.com. You can listen to it all week until, I think, Thursday, and then it gets bumped down off the rotation. But I'm pretty sure you can download it off of iTunes within a week or two for free. So is that still going on, Rob?
Yeah, you can download it from iTunes the next day, I believe, cool. If not an hour after your show. They're pretty fast about it usually, but it's usually the next day.
Awesome. So real quick in closing, again, we talked about live target lures. Check those guys out, www.livetargetlures.com. Walk, check those out, man. You'll be impressed.
Yeah.
We talked about the new products from Shimano, the new rods, the new reels that are coming out. We talked about Engel coolers, Engel, ENGEL-US.com. I got 90 seconds left. The lady just told me. Florida Beer Company, thank you very much for being my unofficial beer sponsor of the show. ESPN for giving me the highlights to the game, since I'm talking 31-17. New England's beating Miami fourth quarter with 8 minutes and 58 seconds left. We'll catch a little bit of that. Check out my website, chuckskayakadventures.com. Check out yakangler.com. Check out Rob's blog, abadbadcast.com. And cool. Everybody have a good, safe week. We'll talk to you throughout the week on the other shows. Remember, Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern, and twice on Tuesday. There's a 10 o'clock show on Tuesday. You can catch a show on Kayak Fishing Radio Network with the various different hosts. Greg, Scott, Kevin, Rob, Chip, everybody that called in, Spiker, everybody, I appreciate it very much. You guys be safe. Send me out an email if you have any questions. Chuck's Kayak Adventures@hotmail.com. And Trey and Logan, see you guys in the morning, babies. Love you. Good night. Thank you, guys.
All right, no problem.
See you. See you, Chuck.